With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Off Speed Podcast. My name is Grace. I am your host for this show, a show where we stop and slow down. We take a look at different sports and different sports stories. I'm very excited for the episode we have for you today. First, I'll be joined by Ken Hong from Survivor Gabon to chat about esports. Great chatting with Ken about something that I'm very unfamiliar with. So we'll have that conversation up first. And then afterwards, my good friend Mikey will be back to chat about golf, specifically the Live Golf Series League, this like rival golf league to the PGA Tour. It's had one tournament. It's kicking off another tournament either right after you're listening to this, or it's happening already. So intrigued by what's going on there, because like it's sort of shaken up the golf world to an extent. So Mikey and I will chat through that. Since we left, Levine and I chatted about our preview for the Stanley Cup Finals. We almost jinxed Nathan MacKinnon, but he was able to score a few goals en route to the Colorado Avalanche, defeating the Tampa Bay Lightning to become the Stanley Cup champions, which I think is a fun way to finish the season. I think Colorado definitely deserves it. And for folks who are anti three-peats from the Tampa Bay Lightning, I think people are happy about that as well. So, we'll dive into some chat about esports. And then at the end of the show, we'll be back to chat about Live Golf. And then I'll be back with you. So enjoy the show. I'm very excited to be chatting about esports today with Ken. Ken, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Ken, you were Kenny on Survivor Gabon, but is it Ken? Is Ken the...
I normally go by Ken.
Okay. You normally go by Ken. Cool. So yeah, would you chat about esports? I know you are a huge esports, not a fan, but also a player. Is that correct?
Yeah, I love esports.
Okay.
Esports is, it's what I did growing up, so.
Yeah. So typically, actually, this will be a fun question. Typically, when I have somebody new on the show, Ken, I do ask people for their like sport background. Did you play as a kid? Who were you watching? You just said, I grew up on esports. So what's your like sporting background? And we'll get to all the people who are like, esports isn't a sport. We'll get to that. So
I mean, when I grew up, I played tennis as a kid. I had tennis lessons. My dad put me in tennis lessons every Sunday. But I wasn't a big fan of tennis. I mean, I like tennis, but yes. I wasn't amazing, like super amazing at it. And what I did in my spare time was play video games. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I like to do. A lot of my friends are also into video games. So, you know, when you play video games, you always, if you're competitive, you always like want to see who's the best in your group at yes. whatever game you play. Right.
Yes.
So like in any game, in like technically any game, like poker or whatever, you know, everyone wants to see who's the best or whatever. And I mean, that's
fundamentally sports, Ken, I think. Right?
Yeah. just be competitive. Like, you can be competitive in any game out there.
Yeah.
And video games is not like it's not like athletic or anything. Well, some could say it is, but
we'll get into that. I think it's skill based, I would say. So I think it counts. Yeah.
Yeah. And we would just play all sorts of games, like the old Mario game. Even if it's one player, we'd always like decide, let's see who can do things the fastest, best, you know, best times, all that stuff. And we just went on from there, and we just wanted to see who was the best. And then eventually, like large scale, it became like a tournament, you know.
Yeah, so I feel like esports, for I think most people who are listening, unless people tune in to be like, oh my God, Ken is here to talk about esports, and are very excited by that premise. But I think for people who are in my camp, it's like, I know esports are a thing. I know that they have really blown up over the last few years. And maybe I'm even like underestimating how long they have been popular. And so I know that they are huge and hugely popular. And perhaps that growth, perhaps what I'm noticing is like the growth in North America. But like, where does this start? Like, is there a specific game that like launches sort of the rise and success of esports as something that people take seriously, can play sort of professionally? Or are there multiple at one time? How does it start, Ken?
Well, So Nintendo used to hold these like world tournaments, but they weren't like super, I would say, like a lot of people weren't watching. They were like, there's a movie called The Wizard, I think, with like Ben Savage back in the day. Like Nintendo would hold these like certain tournaments, and, you know, it wasn't anything like big prize money or anything, you know. They usually give prizes and stuff. But for me, I grew up watching esports in Korea. For me, I think that's where it started. I was watching a game called StarCraft. Mm-hmm. I was really big into StarCraft because it was they used to call it battle chess, you know, because I was also into chess. It was like a real time strategy game, RTS, and you would like mine all these minerals, you build an army, and then you attack each other.
Amazing.
There was like three races. There was the race called Terran, Zerg, and Protoss. And Korea was like, it was made by Blizzard, so it was made in America. Right. And Korea, I think it got Korea out of their depression.
Wow.
So they hosted these like games of like all these players playing each other, and it was very popular over there. And they, I think back then, a StarCraft player was more popular than their like sports player.
Right.
So their esports players were more popular because people would know esports more than sports back then in Korea.
I'm seeing there's some stuff about they have a financial crisis in 1997, like an Asian financial crisis, and basically coming out of that, there's two things. One is that like there's a high unemployment rate, which some people think that perhaps like people have time to play video games.
Yeah.
And then the other piece of that being that like following that, there's this huge infrastructure built of like broadband internet, which forms the rise of people being able to game online. That totally makes sense.
But also the internet like helped gaming so much, you know, because like there was like playing with your friends, but when you can't play your friends, like who else are you gonna play with?
Yeah,
but now with the internet. Yes. You can play with anybody in the world.
True. This would be a thing that, like, I don't know, like, this is a sports podcast. I have some friends who, when before, like, these video games, like these sport video games had the ability to, like, have your own franchise mode where you each run a team and you're making trades and playing against each other. Like, we were just doing that with, like, spreadsheets on our, like, on our lap, right? Because we could just only play in the same room and we just, like, keep track of everything or whatever. Exactly. The internet comes around and now you can play against everybody, you know, in the whole, in the entire world. See how that translates as well to this like tournament style stuff, right? To be the best in the world.
Exactly.
Like,
but I think everybody is like a gamer within, you know, like even top athletes, they play games, you know, just for fun here and there. And everyone has a specific genre of games they like to play too. So like, just because you're not good at games too doesn't mean you don't like watching good players play games, you know?
Yeah, I feel like the barrier for entry to me a little bit is something like League of Legends. I'll like sit down and watch my friends playing and they're moving at such a pace. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I need to like respond to them being like, oh, nice work. Like, a good move. I guess maybe that's the same thing about like if somebody who's not a baseball fan sits down as a baseball fan is like, I don't know what's going on, but everybody cheered. So that must have been a good thing, you know? So what are some of, I know you're a gamer. What are some, you know, you talked about StarCraft. Are there other, what are some of the games that like really got you into not only like wanting to play competitively, but also like for you were the most fun to be like watching other people be really good at this stuff?
Oh, I used to love watching people play Street Fighter. I'd go to the arcades and there would be long lines and I just sit there and watch people play all day when, you know, the internet wasn't around and where we had to put quarters in for one or two games, you know?
I don't know. We didn't even have cash anymore, can I?
I was one of those little kids who was just like, whoa, like I would watch Marvel vs. Capcom 2, Street Fighter Alpha back in the day. And before like when arcades were a thing, I used to be at an arcade all day, before like all these good consoles came out.
Street Fighter makes complete sense to me in the fact that, you know, if I'm going to like sit down and watch some, I think I could follow along with a Street Fighter game at this point. Like even with my, like, I feel like I'm like pretty like video game savvy, but some of these other ones were like, I'm a big board game person. So I think I could get it, but Street Fighter is just like, yeah, these two people are going to fight. There's a bar up top. You can see who's good and who wins. How big did like, it feels like Street Fighter became like a big esports.
Because here's the thing about games too. They have tournaments, right? Cause there's a lot of people interested in like playing Street Fighter, right? But their company also backs them. So their company, Capcom will make tournaments and they will then, host tournaments and give out lots of prize money and give back to the community. So like, unfortunately for me, I played Smash Brothers professionally, right? Since I was really good at Smash Brothers.
Yes.
But Nintendo like never really backed us. Like everything was ran by people like underground. We used to call it underground tournaments because like Nintendo wouldn't know about us, but they would never like sponsor us or anything. So now every tournament nowadays, like for Smash, like I guess Nintendo is somewhat sponsoring some certain tournaments, but they're not like, they don't have a fully like developed circuit like the fighting game community does, like with Street Fighter.
Right. Okay, so you're a Smash Brothers person. I gotta say, my roommates in university love playing Smash Brothers, and I felt like I was like, I moved in with them a year after they had lived together, and I came in and just never played Smash Brothers, and just was but I would just get demolished every single time. I could never get the learning curve. So I have to say, I'm a very bad Smash Brothers fan, but I get the appeal of it. I've seen like, you know, my like household full of buddies be like, yeah, we're gonna play, let's smash, you know? Can you explain to me like, how does the format of a Super Smash Brothers tournament, like what does that look like? What's the format?
It's basically like any typical bracket that you have. You have like, there's like a 2v2 tournament and a 1v1 tournament, and there's certain things that are banned. Like people try to make things fair. So with most skill, obviously. So they ban certain stages, they ban certain items. There's like no items, but here's the thing, like Nintendo, when they did their tournaments, they want all that flashy stuff, but you know, but obviously like the people, they want skill. I mean, there, not to say there is items with skill, but there's more luck based. So people try to eliminate the most, like the most luck obviously, and try to prevail with skill. So
yes, I remember it be hotly contested is like, I mean, in some of these games, it makes sense as well. Like which character you're going to pick. Is there like, are there characters, like who is your go-to character when you're playing?
I used to play this character named Marth. He's from Fire Emblem series.
Okay.
And I liked him because he was fast and he had a lot of range. So I was a typical character that had, I picked a character that had lots of good spacing, you know, so I could poke at my opponents and not get hit.
Are there any characters that people are like, oh my God, you're not allowed to have, you know, whoever, or are they all pretty much like you figure out the strategy to.
Yeah. Well, Marth. In the beginning, like people had to figure things out, but once like YouTube and the internet became a thing, it was harder, for people to figure things. I mean, it was easier for people to figure things out right. Because everything's online. Right. If you want to learn how to do something, here it is. Find a YouTube video. This is how you do it, you know? But there was a lot of things in the past that people had an event to do when YouTube wasn't a thing, you know? So like people only found the highest techniques at tournaments, you know? So people would go and see people do it and just like, oh, how did he do that? And just go home and try to figure it out. But nowadays everything's on YouTube. So you can find any, like if you wanted to be good at a certain character, there's like a bazillion tips and tricks on how to be good at that character.
I don't know. I've played a lot of Super Smash Brothers. I don't think I could do it.
I don't know if you put enough time into it. You have to, okay. They call it labbing. So you have to lab more.
I mean, I think it's, you know, it seems easy to think that like, yeah, this will be really fun. We'll watch, you know, and I think you talk about the internet becoming, you know, so popular. And I feel like Let's Plays have become, like such a key part, at least like when I was like, you know, a little bit younger, like it's such an important part of like YouTube culture. That's a lot of stuff. I was like, yeah, I'll just watch this person play video games. And I feel like that should translate, to esports. And I think it has, like, I think it has this huge, following, but I feel like also at the same time, it's one of those things that I think is the most, I feel like some of this other, like, what I'll say, quote unquote, like nerd culture, like comic books and things that are a little bit more accepted than I think. Even just like esports in general, even separately from like Let's Plays. I think Let's Plays have become like a thing that like some old people are like, yeah, I don't get why you'd watch somebody else play a video game. But I feel like they're pretty like accepted. Whereas esports, I think there is this extent that it's like, not mainstream culturally accepted. Do you have a like theory as to why that may be, or am I totally wrong? And it like, it totally is mainstream and I'm just not mainstream.
I think it's starting to get, accepted because like people are starting to do it for a living. Right.
Yeah.
And when people can do it for a job and for a living, then it's more, accepted in the culture. Like for me, when I started, right, like back in like maybe let's say 15 years ago, 16 years ago, when I was doing esports, when it was like not as popular, I'd get called in for jury duty and they would ask me like, what do you do? And stuff, and I would say, I'm a pro gamer. Uh-huh. And everybody would look at me like, the heck? What is he doing? Like, what do you do? What does pro gaming mean? And I have to explain it to them. Right. Nowadays, like, you go to college and there's pro gaming courses that you can take, you know.
Is that really?
Yeah. Like, colleges have like pro gaming professors that teaches you like about esports. They have like video game, like pro gaming, clubs that do tournaments weekly. And, it's really gone full circle. Cause, I know that kids, back in the day would tell the parents, like, I want to be a pro gamer. And they're just like, no. No,
yeah.
And then nowadays, if they say I want to be a pro gamer and they're really good, their parents like go to these tournaments and support these kids.
Right.
Yeah.
For me, it was like I just say I was going to be a video game developer. To play video games was not quite possible, but to create them maybe was actually something that was real. And I think like we could chat a little bit at this point about like there is this like notion I think that like is it sports whatever I, you know. Ultimately, I think it is. I think that there's enough like skill there. I think people will get hung up on like, is there physical exertion?
Yeah.
I think probably in some games there are, and maybe in others there are not. Yeah. Ultimately, I don't think it really matters. Like, who really cares?
Yeah. Well, it's like, how do you define a sports? You know, like, what does it have to have? Like, does it have to have tournaments? Does it have to have players? You know, like, it has everything sports has. Like, there's interest. To be fair, like esports has more viewers than regular sports now. Like,
that's probably true.
Yeah. Cause like there's more people that are willing to sit home watching like people play video games than NFL. Like for me, for example, like when I grew up, I didn't like watching football, baseball, whatever. I found it boring. But when I was watching these tournaments when you see like there's this very interesting like famous clip of like Daigo versus Justin Wong in Street Fighter. I don't know if mm-hmm. you saw it, but it happened at like Evo 2007, I think, back in the day, and he parried a special from Chun-Li, Diago from Japan. Okay. And that was like the hypest moment of like esports back in the day. And that's really hard to do.
Yeah.
So then like everybody went crazy. It was like, if I don't even know, one of the biggest things that happened in NFL, but it was equivalent to that probably.
There's a study in 2016 that estimated by the year 2020. So this is a few years old, but it's the first thing I found is that esports will have more viewers in the United States. This is not worldwide, so I think is probably correct, but that it would have more viewers in every sport other than the NFL, which I think in the United States makes sense. And then if you take like global esports viewership, like water.
Exactly. I think the Europeans are way into esports too. They love, I think it's like, maybe it's a culture thing, but maybe in America, like it's still getting improved here, but other countries like Korea for sure, Japan, they're into the gaming thing. So.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Where currently do folks watch esports events? So is this like, has YouTube cornered the market? Is it something else entirely?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like, you know, for me, like so many people my age, nobody has cable. But I feel like there potentially for me, even there's this like barrier of entry of like, okay, I'm going to have to need to figure out what game I'm going to watch. I know the game and then I can watch it. Because I was thinking about like, esports, whether this is true or not, feels like something that you have to like be all in on. And perhaps like you can like clarify that like that assumption is wrong. Like you could be like a casual esports viewer and it would be like a ton of fun, a fun way to spend your like evening.
You don't have to be all in. There's a website called Twitch. That's where everybody streams their games. You can watch people play. And they always stream all the like the tournaments there. So like if you want to watch like StarCraft, Warcraft, or even like ping pong or whatever, you just go in Twitch, type in your game that you're looking for, and see who's streaming or what's out there. But usually like big tournaments, they'll promote it all over social media. But Twitch is probably the biggest website that streams video games.
Okay, and Twitch has the market on.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, and Twitch is owned by Amazon, so Amazon has you know, they are boosting gaming because they have this thing called Amazon Prime Gaming, where if you are a Prime member and you play games, you get certain extra like benefits. So.
Right. That makes sense to me. If somebody was like wanting to, maybe you can give this advice to me. It's like, I want to start somewhere. I've never really dabbled into like watching something. I maybe like watch clips or something on YouTube or whatever, but like, where should I start? How should I start watching esports?
So just go on Twitch, and usually they promote the biggest tournaments of the day, like on the front page, or like certain people who are very popular streamers. And then you go from there, like, or you could type in whatever game that you want to look at. Let's say you're into like football or like soccer or something. You just type in football or soccer, and then I'll take you to like the, either you can sort it out too. It'd be like by the most viewers or like the most popular, things like that. So then just watch this, let's go from there.
If this, did this change during, I'm not sure how much this might have changed during COVID. Like my imagination of like some of these big tournaments was like these big, like they're booking like huge venues, right? Where like people are like coming and playing and you're watching the game happen on a big screen. Has COVID like changed that? So it's like, you're much more like when you're talking about like go to Twitch, you'll find the best streamer. Is that streamer like somebody who's airing the tournament, or is that streamer like, no, this is the person who's playing the game, has like their own Twitch stream of them like competing in the tournament?
Both, because both. Since COVID, like people don't travel to tournaments like in person. So most of these tournaments happen in person, where you go to like a big venue, you meet up, and then there's just like a whole bunch of setups, and then you play your round one, round two until there's a winner deciding. But since COVID, like people have done online tournaments, right? And the thing about online tournaments is some games are not meant to be online and only at LAN. So people always tend to bitch about the lag, which is, you know, because in these games, like every certain, like, every certain thing matters. So like if you're a guy that like likes to play fast, and then you play online and it's just like the lag slows you down, you're just like, none of my things are coming out. You're just going to rage.
Right.
And that seems to what happened. So the results for online tournaments are usually different than the results of like in-person tournaments. Yeah.
That is interesting.
Yeah. It's not the same. So people, sometimes people call you like a keyboard warrior. That means that you're good online. And sometimes people call you like a LAN warrior. So that means you're good in person.
What do you prefer? What is your what's your home field advantage, playing online or playing in person?
I prefer in person.
Yeah, fair. So I think I'm interested in like sort of the current landscape. I mean, you talk about like you can head to Twitch and see what you want. Like, what are the stuff, like I guess like twofold, like what are the big things that, like, at least in your world, what's happening at the moment? What's big? What are you like, what are you excited for in terms of like things that are happening in the esports world at the moment?
I mean, I check out the League of Legends tournaments. Dota is a really big one. Dota gives out like huge prize money, because they have this, they call the TI every year, the international, and it's like held in Washington state. And I love watching people play, because Dota was like back in the day, it's still going on really strong. It's like a 5v5, kind of like League of Legends. It's a MOBA like League of Legends, but I like to watch everything from StarCraft, Smash, to like Pokemon. So right now Pokemon is getting really big because they have their national tournaments coming up.
So their national tournament. Okay, explain the Pokemon national tournament to me.
So Pokemon, there's like, there's lots of Pokemon tournaments. There's like Pokemon, the card game tournaments.
Yes.
There's Pokemon like the video game tournaments, and then there's Pokemon like the phone tournament. Pokemon Go. So Nintendo holds, the Pokemon company holds a tournament every year, and then they have like qualifications for that main tournament. But the main tournament is going to happen in London this year, and they have qualifications already. So like they had regional tournaments, they had three or four of them so far. So in the United States, but not to mention they have it everywhere else, like South America.
Is this regional, and then if you win at your regionals, you get to go to like, is this the joke of like, you win regionals, you go to states. If you win states, you go to nationals. Like, is that how it works?
Yes, pretty much.
Amazing.
So like, if you get like top two, then you have a ticket to go to the finals. And then after the finals, they all compete, and then whoever wins gets crowned champion.
It makes sense. It's very like, I feel like that's very like an old system compared to like what we're used to. And we're like, yeah, you're signed to our, like, we're going to run the League of Legends league, and you're like, you're signed to us to play with us. And it's like,
exactly. Yeah.
But this is like, I mean, I guess the feeling there is like, you can make it, right? If you just like,
yeah, well, anybody can make it. Yeah. So, you know, they have lots of kids going to these tournaments, lots of adults, and, you know, everybody loves Pokemon. So,
I have to say, I mean, I went to Twitch, and there's an esports banner. They have like all this like ways that you can like filter out what you want to watch. There's like games, and you can pick a game. There's like IRL, which I presume is like, you know, if someone's chatting, music, and then there's esports. And then I clicked on League of Legends, and the first video that it advertises to me It's like Pain Gaming X Miners CBLOL Academy 2020. Is it just the more I get into it, the more I'll be like, I know what that means.
I don't even know what it means. So I think
it's just a tournament. I think.
Yeah.
LOL Academy. That makes sense.
It might be something like for only League like hardcore players that know about. I don't know, but I don't know about it. Like you can be a casual like me for certain other games. I don't know what you're watching, but then mm-hmm. still be hyped about it. So
you. Do you still play like esports competitively?
Yeah. Occasionally I'll do tournaments here and there depending on how I feel. But
and
like
you stream yours on Twitch?
Yeah, sometimes I'll stream mine on Twitch.
You're Liquid Ken at Liquid Ken on Twitch?
Yeah, I'm Liquid Ken on Twitch, yeah.
Okay, so maybe that's how I get into it. I'll just follow you and what you're doing, Ken.
I feel like I mean I'll play Monopoly online with my friends sometimes, you know, I'll play like fun games, you know, that's what I do mm-hmm. on Twitch, you know.
Okay. So. Tell me, like, I think for me, a thing I love about sports in general is like, you know, I remember being at a game in 2016 where the Blue Jays, like, you know, they have this big home run. I remember those moments, the stories of sports. I think, like, in many ways, like, I joked about getting this podcast on a reality TV network. I think, like, sports is, like, in some ways, the original, like, reality TV show mm-hmm. of, like, yeah, these, like, epic stories, real people, all of this stuff. Could you give me some, like, highlights of, like, interesting things that have happened either to you, like what are some moments that you're like, wow, that was incredible, I can't believe we like pulled off this victory, or stuff that you've like watched?
I was saying like at Evo 2007, which was one of the biggest tournaments of time for fighting games, like mm-hmm. the whole parry thing between Justin Wong and Daigo, that like that's a crazy scene to watch, you know, like you have to be like frame perfect, and frame perfect means you have to be perfect.
There's a whole Wikipedia article about it's the Evo moment 37. Is that what? Or the Diego Perry?
Yes. Okay. There's all sorts of like moments. For me, like I've come back clutched. You know, there's times where I was down and there's no way people would think I'd come back and I came back. You know, but those are my stories. But
so this one is Umehara made an unexpected comeback by parrying 15 consecutive hits while having only one pixel of vitality. And so he then won the match. He did go on to lose the grand final, but
But that moment was crazy. Here's the thing about like tournaments, the crazy things go on. Like sometimes there's fights. It's just like any other crazy thing, you know,
real in-person fights.
I've seen it before. People get mad. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
What are they getting mad over? Is this like you cheated?
Certain times people play with a different style that people don't like. They play lame, and then the people and they shit talk, and then people get mad. You know, that's what happens at games. Like people like to try to like tilt the other player so they get the advantage. So
that's fair. But real fights. Wow. I mean, I watch sports.
Sports. I've seen everything happen at esports tournaments compared to like regular sports tournaments. So
there was a huge fight in baseball. This like literally everybody.
Really?
Fighting. So yeah, that makes sense.
Hockey, right? Hockey. I used to play, video games the hockey video games just to get into fights.
That's fair. What do you think what's currently the hottest like esports sport?
I mean, League is very popular. Like I said, Dota is also very popular, but only Dota gets really popular during like the TI, the big tournament. Defense of the Ancients. It was the game that was before League.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, I have heard of this. Yes.
Yeah. And then what other tournaments like
Smash? Let's top down on League for a second. I have a lot of friends who play League. And again, I don't really play, but they definitely love it. I know that I'm not sure if you were a fan. Did you see Arcane that came out on Netflix?
I was at the premiere. That was great.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
League has, you know, you're picking characters, you're like, you know, it's this like five versus five, typically, right? This like much more like strategy combat-y game, right? That I think, probably lends itself to be really, interesting. Sometimes when I'm watching it, I feel like it can be hard to follow, but I'm sure if you know
the rules of the game, it feels like, oh, that's cool. There's so much stuff happening.
Yeah. And the thing about League is, like, you have to be invested because there's so many champions, right? There's all these characters that you can pick from, and they all have different spells, right?
Right.
And certain champions are good against others. So, like, that's why there's some bans, right? Sometimes people don't like playing against a certain champion, and they'll ban them before these matches, wow, so people can't use them. So let's say you don't like playing against someone that can go like invisible. And there's like character, like champions that can go invisible in the game, because right, you want to be able to see the people who you're playing against. So you can ban that person or that champion every game you play, so you don't have to deal with it.
Right.
But in tournaments, it's more of like you want to ban characters that have good synergy, right? You don't want, like, there's the characters that have, like, in team fights have really huge, like, specials that can just, like, stun everybody.
Right.
Right. And there's, like, one versus one champions where, like, they just destroy characters that are just, like, by themselves. So, yeah, like, in tournaments, it's more... Okay, so playing League by yourself online is completely different than playing League with a team.
Right.
Because if you're going to the arena by yourself, you're playing with randoms. And right, and you don't have good teamwork with randoms unless, like, right, they know what they're doing. But most of the time, like, if you're playing in tournaments with a team that you're practicing with, you know each other, you know what you're going to do, and you know exactly how you're going to play.
Right.
And you know your certain strategies. So, like, people, your friends, I don't know if they play 2v2, like, duel, or they play whatever's, like...
I think they play a bunch of, you know, honestly, I don't...
They probably play ARAM, which is, like, mm-hmm, just fun, just for, like, fast-paced, like, League games, right? Mm-hmm. But it's totally different when you play with a team, because, like, you have a coach. Like, let's say you're an esports player and you're really good at League, and then you get drafted or you get casted to a team finds you and they're like, hey, you want to be a part of our team?
Right.
And in League, there's a mid laner, there's a jungler, there's a bot lane carry, ADC carry, and there's a support, and there's a top lane.
Positions.
Yes.
That makes sense to me.
So, yeah, like, you, mm-hmm, start your lanes, and then each lanes can win or lose, right, and then, then, you know, eventually you all come together for these big team fights.
Right.
Right. Eventually,
right,
eventually.
Right. Right.
But so let's say you're really good at League and you play online one versus one, but then you have all the mechanics, which is like you're really good at like dodging and all that stuff and,
right,
and last hitting and getting going on and stuff. So then you go to the esports team and sometimes like, it's like a full circle for you, because like you're good at like what you do solo, but then you now get to learn how to work with the team. You know, right, you can't be that like player that you are in like in just playing online. Now you have to work with this team, and if you don't, and you're like seconds late to a team fight, that can cost your team like the whole entire game.
Yeah,
and it's crazy. So like you have to be like grounded, and you have to understand your like teammates. Like you have to be on the same page.
Do you know what? I think this makes sense to me why this perhaps is like, if you're saying like, yeah, number one in the world, is that like, there's so much, I think, just in what you're saying to like, cause I think part of the fun for, I think like a more general sport fan of like NFL or MLB, we like, yeah, want stuff to be able to like talk about all the time and whatever. And I feel like, mm-hmm, in this analysis, if you, there's so many things that I could see like, yeah, people, yeah, are going and you're like, oh, they should have done this and that, you know, the chemistry between them is right. This makes total sense to me that like, this is the one that like,
exactly.
And then, like, there's so many dynamics to talk about.
Yeah. And yeah, when you, let's say you lose like a game, you'll have like, yeah, you can watch the replay and you can see all, right, the mistakes that people do and stuff. It's, right, it's, yeah.
And and from everything I've heard about League is that it's fun. It's a very fun game as well. So
it's very fun, but yeah, it's also like it's a love and hate. Yeah. Love and hate. Love and
I
hate.
Remember, like, when they were doing coverage for Arcane on Post Show Recaps, it was like, if you watch the show and think that, okay, now I should get into League of Legends, our, yeah, best advice is like, don't do it. It's not worth it. All right. Anything else? At Liquid Ken, you play games online. Anything else, yeah, you want people to know about? Anything else people should know about esports? I mean,
like, just do what you like to do. Like, if you're a gamer and like an avid gamer, if you like to play games on your phone, like whatever, yeah, if you're interested in any sorts of games, even like Settlers of Catan, you can watch people play Settlers of Catan, or you can actually play in Settlers of Catan tournaments like online, like,
true,
through like esports or whatever, you know?
Yes, true.
It comes in multiple like games. Like it's just now it's virtual. Like
yeah, before. I mean the video game world is so. I mean that's the. I mean we're talking getting into board game worlds and card games and all sorts of stuff. Like there's something out there for you. I think if you're a fan. So
And if the game is like popular, then there might be tournaments for it. So
right.
Just depending on like who, how popular, like how many people like to watch and how many people like to play, you know.
Let's make people dream really big. What's like the biggest payout in like esports at the moment? Like what are like big esport winners like breaking in?
Millions.
So we'll tell people quit your jobs, you'll make millions playing esports.
Fortnite is really big right now for money. I think some kid won like $1.5 million in one tournament, and he was 15 like a couple years ago. Like he won a tournament, and you know who Ninja is? He started out in esports. I remember back in the day when we used to go to these tournaments, and I'd see him play. And he was used to be like a Call of Duty, Halo, and all that stuff player. He's a first person shooter player, and he's hosting these tournaments, and he's now doing like ninja tournaments and stuff.
He's a big deal.
He's giving out lots of money for these tournaments. And then now he's getting Mr. Beast. I don't know if you know who
Mr. Beast is. I know Mr. Beast. Yes.
Yes. And Mr. Beast is also a gamer, and they're doing a league tournament. So Mr. Beast is getting four people, and then Ninja's getting four people, and they're going to play in this tournament and league tournament. And by all means, Mr. Beast is not like a pro gamer, and Ninja is a pro gamer in a different game, not League, but I think he also plays League.
We have some chatting too. I think there's some stuff here. I mean, if Mr. Beast and Ninja are putting together teams, I have some thoughts that we'll chat with offline. Maybe a future rehab project.
Yeah. I mean, So like they're do. I don't know if they're like.
Yeah, I don't have millions to give out as prize money, but
But it's also fun. It's kind of like if you were to like draft like random players or whatever, and then like put them in a tournament and have them play together. So could be celebrities. Who knows? You know, I think Ninja plays with a lot of Fortnite with celebrity players.
Right.
That makes sense. Which gets lots of viewers. People love watching celebrities play games.
Yeah, I think what I've learned from this conversation, like, I think there's a way in which esports to me has felt incredibly like overwhelming and like intimidating. But I think like even just having this conversation has been helpful to be like, you just find something you like and start watching it, and you'll like end up in the like stuff you find entertaining and want to watch. I mean, you did say like watch what you want to watch, you know?
Yeah, just take it slow. You don't have to be in the big world of esports and understand everything. There's a lot that goes on, but just start off small. You know, just watch what you like to do normally. Like for me, I don't watch it's hard for me to watch TV. So whenever I have free time, I'll just like go on Twitch and then watch like a tournament here and there. I'm like, whoa, like, you know, I find that interesting.
It is a huge culture shift. I was at my parents and they were like, gosh, nothing good on like Sunday morning. And I was like, what do you mean? You can literally watch anything. There's like a million streaming networks. There's like Twitch, there's YouTube. Like we are a totally different generation of like, you just watch whatever you want to watch, you know?
Exactly.
You have everything at your fingertips. Like I can watch old episode of Friends, or I could go watch like a League of Legends tournament.
Exactly. Like Netflix and just watch whatever you know, like, I mean, there's also like, documentaries on gamers. Whoa. And I think there's on Hulu Plus, there's one on this guy named, I forgot his name, but there's a new show that features this gamer on League.
That's brilliant. I was just in the segment people will hear after this one. I'm talking about golf, and I was saying there's a new Netflix series coming that's like similar to Drive to Survive, which is the Formula One show. That's like they're going to be like in-depth analysis of like different golfers as they're on the tour, and actually like one for like esports would be actually really cool. That would be actually great.
Yeah. If you want to learn about my game, there's a documentary on my game called The Smash Doc on YouTube.
Okay, Smash Talk.
Yeah, so if people are watching here and they're like, oh, like what was Ken doing like in esports? You can just watch that and you can dive into that. But there's a streaming player, I forgot his name, but he's a League player and it was like advertising. I had like some good advertisement of like showing how he was trying to get to the top and what's the life of a pro gamer and stuff like that. So
League of Legends Origins looks like there was one. Ken, can I ask you very quickly? You said you don't watch a lot of TV. Are you going to be checking out the show Players? Have you heard of Players?
I've never heard of Players.
Players is a will follow the. It's a mockumentary series that will follow a fictional League of Legends team. I believe this is coming to Paramount Plus. I believe, and it's made by the same folks who did American Vandal. If you're familiar with that, but yeah, it's getting really good reviews. I think some of the episodes are out already, but perhaps we'll have to get your thoughts on Players.
Oh, that might be the thing that I'm talking about.
It's a mockumentary, so it's like.
Okay. Yeah. Never mind.
But on esports doc here, there's five League of Legends documentaries to watch. So I'm sure that
I've seen a couple of them and they were pretty good. Like they were pretty well made. So if everybody wants to get into like League esports or like Smash esports, there's documentaries on them on YouTube or like the other streaming services that you can find if you want to get more into it. Yeah.
It's a whole culture. Just start somewhere and you'll find your way to the step.
It depends on what type of game you like to watch and what genre you're interested in. And then after that comes the players. Like everybody's different, you know, like in terms of like players. So some players are more quiet and some are more out, you know. They like to talk more, so
yeah. I mean, this is just a network built on survival. Like some people like the like funny person, some people want the super strategist, some people the goofball. So that makes sense. All right, thanks for coming on to chat about esports, Ken.
No problem. Like if you have any more questions, let me know about esports. I'd say I would know a lot about esports, but I'm not a super like analytical esports person, so.
You're on Twitter and on Twitch at Liquid Ken. Anything else you want to promote or hype up?
No, that's about it. Like I usually just use those type of just Twitter.
All right.
At Liquid Ken and Twitch. Those are my two platforms. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks for coming on, Ken.
No problem, Grace.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
All right, and we're back. I'm pleased to be joined today by the host of the Hound Dog Harrison podcast, the Bros Ceremony podcast, and All Bets Par Off, stats guy with SportsCenter with Jay, and he writes for sportsbettingdime.com. Welcome back to the show, Mikey. How you doing?
Very, very well. Thanks for having me back on. It's great. I love obviously talking golf at any time. It's my biggest passion, so I'm excited to dive into this today.
Golf. Who knew we'd have so many segments on golf on this show? But 'tis the season, I guess, you know. But Mikey, a few weeks ago, I guess this is a while ago, but then so we have LIV Golf or LIV Golf started a new professional golf tour, and they held their first event, I believe, in June, the beginning of June. And they're about to hold their second one. Depending on when you're listening to this, it's either about to kick off or it's in the middle of it happening. And so LIV Golf is here, and I'm like, I don't know anything about this. And so I need Mikey to come explain it, this whole thing to me.
Well, I'm actually amazed that it actually is a thing, because this has been rumored and talked about for a couple of years that, you know, there's going to be this rival league to the PGA Tour. But it was all sort of hearsay and conjecture. It's not actually going to really happen. There's no way real names are going to come to this tour. And yeah, obviously it's a very real thing now. As you mentioned, they played the first event in London. Charles Schwartzel, winner of the Masters in 2011, won that first event, and he made, I believe it was just north of $4 million for winning a three-round event. So that's obviously a crazy amount of money. But yeah, it's actually here. It's the thing. And there's more and more players defecting to this tour. And so it's definitely very controversial. And it's just, it's fascinating to see where all this is going to go.
So I feel like for me, the big news from this thing was because it was, I think there's two names that were like agreed to sign on it. I think to give it some sort of like, you know, legitimacy, you know, this idea, if you're going to have a rival golf club, can you do it without having at least a name or two? The PGA, I guess, historically has like allowed players to go and compete in other tournaments and such. But this being such a like, we're competing with you, they've made a statement, right, that like if you're gonna go play with them, you're not welcome to play with us. So for me, the two big names, Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson, to me are the big names who are like, yep, we're gonna go do this thing. I mean, all indications say the reason why is money, Mikey. Is that the reason, or is there more at play here as well, or is it just cash?
Well, certainly Phil Mickelson was the one who sort of got stepped in some doo-doo, if you will, with comments about this tour before he even went to the LIV Golf Series, by basically saying that, you know, the PGA Tour has this obnoxious greed for, you know, basically holding hostage the players' highlights. And so then he decided to go to this tour, and I think the contract was about $200 million.
Dustin Johnson, I think, is being paid $150 million for committing to play in this series. Yeah,
that's a lot of scratch. And obviously, Phil is now he's over 50 years old. So other than randomly winning the PGA Championship last year out of absolutely nowhere, Phil hadn't been very competitive for a couple of years in the PGA Tour. So he's over 50. He's probably thinking, let's cash in a bunch of money. Why not? Especially because he also has documented recently that he lost a lot of money in gambling over the years. So
an athlete gambling? I don't believe it, Mikey.
No, some of the stories, apparently, it's he lost a lot of money. So yeah, he went there. Dustin Johnson, obviously a big name. Those are the two big names that played the first event in London. Now there's, of course, as we said, other defectors, Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka. Those two obviously love each other. Not. They're also now playing, and they're major champions, and they'll be playing the one in Portland. Those are the two newer names that are playing the second event that are definitely bringing more legitimacy in terms of like actual players in their prime competing for the LIV.
Right. So we'll get into it later about how this league is being funded, which is by the government of Saudi Arabia, and all the complications that come with that. But let me just ask you, like, you're a big golf fan. When you see something like this happening, it's like taking people from the PGA Tour. Is that like, oh boy, like I like this thing I have. I like the PGA Tour. Or are you more in the camp of like, okay, cool, more golf?
It's kind of funny. I'm obviously a massive golf fan, as you say there.
It'd be weird for me to interview about golf if you hated golf.
that's a good point. Yeah. And I like the DP World Tour, used to be called the European Tour. I watched that a little bit, although the events are earlier in the morning. I'm usually asleep, so I'll be following the scores of those events, but rarely am I ever actually watching them. So generally speaking, PGA Tour is the one I watch the most. And I find, and again, the first LIV event was in London, to be fair. So it was earlier in the mornings. So as a massive fan as I am, I only watched maybe half an hour of the first round of that LIV thing because I was a little bit curious about it. Didn't see the last two rounds at all, which is like, and I'm your target audience, obviously, in terms of, someone who loves golf. So I don't know, like, we'll see when it's actually normal, like a North American time zone for Portland.
So they're going, they're going to go four tournaments in a row here in the United States. So, I mean, here, you and I are both in Canada, but that's okay. Portland, Bedminster, Boston, Chicago. They're going to do Thailand. And then obviously they're going to do Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. And then they're going to finish their sort of tour here with coming back to Miami with their final team, which looks to be, I don't know how, maybe we could chat about the format if you know, but it looks like that the prize money for that last one is bigger. And there's a note here that says team championship. So maybe interested in that, but yeah, mostly American. Interesting to start with London. They're going to do this run of US tournaments, which I think will be an interesting litmus test to see the survivability of this series, this of Live
but
Intel.
They're also, sorry to interrupt, they're also playing events, like they're not going to be playing in consecutive weeks, so it's going to be kind of strange to me. It's going to be like, mm-hmm. you know, the London one and then the Portland one's 2 weeks later, then the next one's, I think, 3 weeks later. So that's kind of strange because they're, you know, I guess working around like the Open Championship and the U.S. Open. So that's kind of interesting. But yeah, back to your earlier question about how excited I am for this, it's kind of funny. I have buddies who aren't as big of golf fans who seem more excited about this than I do, which is kind of weird that like it seems to be because it is a curiosity, I guess, amongst people why they care more about it. As far as me, at least as of now, I really can't get excited for it. Maybe if my hero, John Daly, somehow were asked to be on the tour, which I'm surprised that maybe they have asked him. I'm not sure. I know he's well past his prime.
Yeah.
But just as far as a name that could bring interest to the tour. As of now, it's not really the prestige of winning these tournaments as of now is completely nil. Yes, you win a bunch of money, but golfers, they're not judged by based on the fact that they've won X amount of money over their careers. They never have been. Because like guys like Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus made way less money than the guys who are making the money now. It's not about money in terms of how someone has viewed a golfer in their career. It's championships, prestigious titles. And as of now, these LIV Series events, they're 54-hole tournaments, no cuts, shotgun starts, so everyone plays at the same time on a different hole. And it's just not like a normal golf tournament as of now in terms of prestige. So maybe that'll change. But as of now, it's like, it doesn't really feel like these awesome tournaments at all.
So this idea of like a shotgun start, everyone playing at the same time. And you talk about like, yeah, it's not the same format. I'll get into, I think the point about like, yeah, prestige can the league, you know, create prestige, basically a new league, basically create its own prestige. Is that format? So you just said like, yeah, it's like, you know, this like new thing that they're trying. In many ways, I feel like I'm going to give a very weird example, Mikey, but pro wrestling, which as you know, you were unfortunate to have two roommates who very much like pro wrestling, and often we would control the TV with our pro wrestling watching. There was WWF at the time and WCW, and WCW had this like mega quick rise to the top, and then they are a catastrophe and they fall in and they eventually get bought. But in that peak, so much of the stuff that you often end up seeing a WWF like take is stuff from WCW. They took the stuff that worked and the stuff that didn't work, you know, WCW was left in shambles. And I wonder if you could see this with Live, if some of the stuff that they're trying, whether the PGA might be like, oh, well, that's interesting. Like, we'll take that piece of it. But, you know, the league itself can like wither away and die, you know?
Well, certainly they've already reacted to the PGA Tour to this news, and they're saying, I think it's, there's going to be exclusive events. I believe it's starting next year in the fall. For like the top 50 players there. It's no longer going to be, it used to be this kind of confusing to most fans, a wraparound schedule. It would be literally 1 week off for the season and then it would be back to the next season with a lot of events that were sort of very, very lower tier events. And they're just going back to the January to December golf calendar, as opposed to like September to August. So they're doing that. They're offering way more prize money. I already saw on a couple, maybe eight different events, like a significant price hike for those events as well. So I could certainly see, and part of what sort of Mickelson's comments initially, the non-controversial ones anyway, were that he was just saying like, yeah, like I wouldn't mind if maybe, I don't even care if this tour even succeeds. I just want to basically make the PGA Tour pay up more money for all these guys. So it seems like they definitely will take, as you say, some elements that work and actually make their business model a little bit better.
Yeah, I think going back to your thing about like, you know, people don't really, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you make in your career. It's like, yeah, it's like how many times did you put on the green jacket, you know, that is often how much we value or think highly of a golfer. And I think it feels like the strategy is that, you know, can we pay enough? Can we pay so much money that eventually we'll get people in our tournaments? And the fact that we'll have good enough golfers in our tournaments will be that, you know, that's prestigious, right? Because the PGA Tour, it's not just the fact that it's been on for a very long time, but it's also that like, that was the thing. That's where all the best golfers end up, right? And so Liv is now trying to siphon away some of those. right? They're not going to get everybody, but if you can get more people, then, you know, the winner of your tournament will look more prestigious as a result. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. And as we've sort of touched on, I'm a little bit surprised at the solid amount of players that have gone to LIV. Now, obviously, you have like your Lee Westwoods and your Ian Poulters who are in their late 40s and they're pretty much done competing at the highest level of the game, most more than likely. But yeah, you still have some young players like Matthew Wolf. Like, he was such an interesting, he came out of the PGA Tour with a very unique swing. He won his third professional event, almost won a couple majors. He is top fives in a PGA and a US Open. Looked like he was going to just be amazing on the tour. Then he sort of struggled and he took away some time away for his mental health. And he said he needed to take some time away from that. It looked like he was just going to be this superstar in the PGA Tour. And now he's decided to go to LIV. So there's definitely some names of some young players who are doing that. And even some, you know, I think the second ranked amateur in the world is going as well. So they have got more people than I actually thought they would have. And it seems to be trickling in ever so often, a few more names here and there, maybe even Ricky Fowler, potentially. That name, he's been thrown out there. Hasn't happened yet, but that's a name that certainly people think may do it, because he's also not been very good the last couple of years on tour. So I'll give him a credit. They brought some interesting names, no doubt.
Yeah, I really do think that, you know, it is money, right? Like, unfortunately, as shitty as that is, it does have to be money. Like, why, you know, it's basically, you know, that's the reason Phil Mickelson basically gives, right? It's mostly like, if they're going to pay me a bunch of money to go and play golf, you know, and I'm not going to make as much money here. We could talk about the ethical concerns of like agreeing to play for LIV. But it's also hard for me as somebody who's like, I'm a sports fan and I'm much more often like player focused, you know, even, you know, do I want my team to the Toronto? Do I want the Toronto Blue Jays to sign somebody for like a cheap contract that's like good value so we can like add somebody else? Yeah. I also like it when like guys get paid, you know. I know that they're millionaires, but they're like, you know, the owners are billionaires. So it's not the worst thing in the world for like these golfers to go, for me to see them like go get paid a bunch of money, and perhaps it leaks into the PGA Championship, in which they have to start raising the amount of money that they're offering some of their folks as well.
As we said, they definitely have already reacted pretty strongly to that, the PGA Tour, because obviously they're very worried about more players defecting. So they have already hiked up a lot of money for some of these events that were already, you know, giving it a lot of money as it was. So they definitely are noticing there's a huge threat for them. They may pretend like nobody cares. No, it's a big thing. Like, there's some names. Oh, I also forgot to say Sergio Garcia earlier. He's also a name, a Masters winner. So yeah, there's definitely some big names that have done that. And there's a term actually that I'll admit I hadn't really heard much of it until this tour. I guess maybe because I don't really follow a lot of F1, but sport washing is the term that's come out of this. That's sort of fascinating. Basically, the Saudi-backed money are using sports as a way to fund and get people's mind off the attention of the fact that they're doing some really bad things with that money. I never really heard that term until recently.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could chat. I mean, it'd be a good time to chat about that it is run by people in Saudi Arabia. That was certainly one of the controversies that was, you know, launched against Phil Mickelson. Are you taking part in sport washing? Basically, the practice of an individual group, corporation, government using sports to improve your tarnished reputation. And so Saudi Arabia is not new to this. They signed a huge contract with WWE as well to bring events over. And a part of that has been that they're letting women wrestle. And so women are being like on the posters, which has been seen as this huge like, WWE is that like, look what we're doing to Saudi Arabia culture. Like, we're like breaking through. Right. So, yeah. And then I think Saudi Arabia has been involved in some Formula One, stuff as well that, you know, it is them trying to basically improve their, public image. They launched the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, in 2021, as well. So, this is a big example, right, of being able to, you know, in some ways for Saudi Arabia to be able to say like, well, look, we like Phil Mickelson's going to play golf in our, like, you know, took our money, you know, like, So there is a lot of controversy, I think, here around the LIV tournament. I don't know how much we want to get into it, but yeah, definitely some people concerned about human rights. That where the money is coming from is from a government that basically abuses human rights. Mm-hmm. You know, persecutes LGBTQ people. There was the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, the journalist. So it's a very complicated matter, to say the least, Mikey.
Absolutely. Yeah, you said it very well there. There's a big rabbit hole you can go down on this, the hole to see what this is all about. There's a, you know, so much more to it than just golf, obviously. It's there's a lot. What I think initially with all this, I was like, okay, Phil Mickelson will be fine. Like these comments weren't super great that he was saying, like I said, the PGA Tour obnoxious greed and, you know, playing for the Saudis. And it was always fascinating because I would say like maybe 3 years ago, three, 4 years ago, he was playing and Dustin Johnson, some big names were playing the Saudi International, which at the time was the DP World Tour sanctioned event, instead of playing Pebble Beach or the Phoenix Open, where Mickelson went to college in Arizona, and the Pebble Beach, he'd won like five or six times. Dustin Johnson's also won it a few times. So at the time, it was like, why are these guys playing the Saudi International? And I knew it was because they were getting a significant amount of money to do so. But it seemed weird to me because it's like you've won these PGA Tour events a number of times. Why are you going from there to the Saudi International, this other random tournament on the DP World Tour? But now it comes into focus as to why. It's because they were setting the groundwork for eventually going to this LIV series of events.
My understanding with PGA golf was typically that you weren't signed to the PGA, that you would play in a PGA tournament. I know someone like Tiger Woods might get a lot of make a bunch of his money from, you know, you win these tournaments and you make money. But in addition to that, you might also have, you might be able to have, you know, a sponsorship deal, Tiger Woods, you know, having a bunch of sponsorship deals with a bunch of different like clothing brands and things like that. But would you also get a base salary from the PGA Tour just from competing? Or is it kind of just like, yeah, if you come in last place, you might make X amount of money or whatever?
Well, so the things on that were the PGA Tour is never allowed to give financial incentive to play tournaments. That was never allowed. But tournaments in the European Tour at the time, they were able to do that. So that was sort of like the big different, you know, quite different that PGA Tour, that was never allowed for them to do that. And yeah, so on the PGA Tour, typically if you don't make the cut, you make $0. But for, as in a good example of this, the first LIV series event, Andy Ogletree, up and comer, I think he's 24 years old, 25 years old, something like that. He finished last, didn't even break 75 for the 3 days, and he made like $125,000 or something like that, I think. So,
right. So and then you have on top of that, right? So you, when we're talking about Phil, if he comes in last in every tournament, it doesn't matter. He's still going to make $200 million because he's on this contract with LIV, right? So we're kind of reshaping the payout structure versus you don't have to be the best to make a bunch of money. It's very, you know, it's almost akin to the NBA. Like, yeah, you sign this big contract. Doesn't matter if you perform or not to an extent.
The contract plus the amount of money you can win. Like I said, Charles Schwartzel winning the $4 million. By the way, slight tangent. I don't know if this happened with you when you first heard about this LIV golf series that, for the longest time, I was trying to figure out what the heck LIV was.
I was doing the acronym thing. I was playing like,
sponsor. Like I was okay. Is it like some sort of like a company I don't know about from Saudi Arabia? It turns out LIV is obviously the Roman numerals for 54,
right,
which is the amount of holes they play 54 holes for the tournaments. And also, they said if any golfer, it's never going to happen, does shoot 54, which would be an insanely, by comparison, the best PGA Tour round ever was 58 by Jim Furyk. I don't know, a handful of 59s. If someone does make a 54, shoot 54, they're going to make $54 million for that. I think it should be like $545 million personally. Yeah, really. It's never going to happen. That's crazy.
Well, that's on that tour, right? That's a hole in one on every, right? Because they play 54. Well, am I wrong? Holes,
but like basically for an 18-hole round, you're going to have to shoot, unless it's a par, say it's a par 72, you're going to have to make a birdie on every single hole to do that, which is just like, that's just never going to happen. But pretty crazy. But
I gotcha.
We touched on the team aspect of this, which also brought a little bit of a wrinkle. I thought initially kind of seemed pretty cool. Was that, there's a teams of four for the, I think it was 48 players at first thing. So it's 12 teams of four. Yeah, I was going to say, I want to make sure I got my math right on that one. But to be honest with you, I just kind of found it confusing. It was just like, the teams are going to change every tournament as well. From what I gather, they had like a snake draft of selecting players. One of the groups of the team was like, there's not a chance that wasn't somehow rigged to have Charles Schwartzel, Master Champion, Louis Oosthuizen, Open Champion, Brandon Grace had a number of top finishes in majors, and Annie Duplessis, who finished second in the tournament, actually, a young up-and-comer South African. The four South Africans on that team. It's like there's no way in the world those guys wouldn't have been selected in a snake draft before the other guys. So that seemed really fishy and weird that they made that team. And actually, I think I heard that report that that there was a controversy that team was basically rigged to happen. So very weird.
I don't know, Mikey. Yeah, I don't know.
This team aspect is it just seems like maybe the players will think it's cool, but as a fan, I'm just like, I don't really care.
I see that they're also the final, which is that team won Invitational Miami. I do see it's being played at Trump National Doral, Miami. So just there's only just a few reasons why this golf this live thing might be I don't know.
Rather, yeah. So that was there was a Doral had been a PGA Tour stop for many years, and then they they eventually for a while they're struggling to get players, but then they turned into a World Golf Championship event, so everyone was playing, and then Trump took it over, and one of the funniest things ever was and it really sometimes there's some things that are, I'm like, okay, there's no way Trump has to be lying about this, but I don't know. I don't know politics enough to know for sure.
Yeah, sure.
But I did know
Canadian as well. So whatever.
Yeah. But I did know this was that he was saying that like, with the changes to the golf course, is the Doral golf course, the players all loved it. They were raving about it. It was incredible. All stuff.
Right.
The players all hated the changes. They had put too much water into the course. The players all absolutely hated it so much that after like 2 years of him owning Trump National Doral, PGA Tour hasn't been there for like 5 years. So it's like, yeah, that's when I went, yeah. But I guess for this live series, they're going to be using the course again. But the players hated the course.
What happened in the London tournament? The top five, four out of the top five players are all South African. Is there a South African golf boom I was not aware of, Mikey?
It's been going for quite some time. Yeah, it was Ernie Els won a couple four majors, and then Retief Goosen, he won a couple of U.S. Opens. And off of that, then, yeah, like I said, there was Schwartzel and Oosthuizen won majors. Brandon Grace came very close to winning a few different ones. There's definitely quite a few South Africans, some of which just play on the DP World Tour. But there's definitely quite a few that have gone to the PGA Tour now. A recent one, Eric Van Rooyen, won on the PGA Tour. There's definitely a lot of good players from there that are outstanding, I guess. From way back when, Gary Player, of course, was the OG amazing player from there.
The interesting thing, I know we talked last time, but like, how do you watch golf? You said you were like, you know, the time zone for you. You're just looking up highlights. I know that they are broadcasting the events on their website as well as on YouTube and Facebook. They tried to get an agreement with Fox and that fell through. And then basically every other major like network in the US like has some ties to PGA Tour's media rights just because of like some Warner Brothers shenanigans stuff. So that I think that'll be the other piece that like, especially, you know, in my perhaps biased lens, golf is a sport that like, you know, I'm sure there are young fans, but it feels like in the same way that baseball caters to an older audience. I think if you're not on TV, if my dad was like, how do I watch live golf? And I'm like, all right, you got to go to the website or you got to go on YouTube or Facebook. He'd be like, no, thank you. I want to sit in my couch and put it on the television. And if they're not going to have TV rights, I feel like that, boy, that's the wrong market for golf. But yeah,
that's a great point. Very, very great point that you're right, because I remember trying to find it initially and I was like, wait a minute. There has to be some network that's broadcasting this. Nope. Yeah. Okay. I guess YouTube. I found it pretty easily. But yeah, you're right. If someone doesn't like to use those, you know, YouTube or Facebook, you're right. It might just be like, hey, just make it simple for me, you know. Yeah. And if it's it seems to be a little bit complicated, people might just give up on it right away.
Here's the other thing that I think is going to, if we want to talk about the flip side of that, is finding a new audience for golf. And I think this live series is interesting. I think that the PGA Tour, What do you think of this? Did you ever get into the Drive to Survive series, Mikey? Do you know what I'm referring to? This is the Formula One series that came on Netflix. Huge, huge thing. I think it's like 4 or 5 seasons in. And Netflix is producing a golf series. Have you heard about this? They're going to the yet-to-be-named golf series will cover the 4 major championships as well as the player championships and the FedEx Cup. And they'll follow different players, presumably. I feel like that's a huge win for golf. I think golf fits into the same categories like Formula One. And then I think if golf and tennis could get these like Netflix series, they're like, here are the people who play golf. I think it could be like really beneficial. Does that like intrigue you at all? These like Netflix style, like docuseries on these golfers?
Well, I definitely know the F1 you're referring to. I haven't actually watched it in that.
Me either, but.
I used to love F1 way back in the day, but I haven't really watched it. Speaking of time zones, oftentimes I can't watch it, or I don't choose to watch it. My hair, by the way, it's just driving me crazy. Holy, what is going on? I am a disaster of a human being. My goodness, what is happening?
It's an audio format, Mikey. No big deal.
I just see myself on the camera. But anyway, the F1, I know Drive to Survive, massive explosion of popularity. Everyone absolutely loves it. I haven't seen it yet, though, but the PGA Tour one, I'm intrigued by. I certainly will tune in for it. I just don't know. I don't know how exciting. And I love golf. But I don't know how exciting golfers and golf really necessarily is. I feel F1 is a lot more entertaining in terms of like, you know, all the things that have to go on behind the scenes to actually like have a good car for your race. I find golfers inherently, generally speaking, fairly boring for the most part. So,
what if they're not? What if we just haven't seen them in the right light, Mikey? 5 of the current top 10 golfers in the world have agreed. Colin Morikawa, Johnson, Justin Thomas, Victor Hovland. Sergio Garcia had agreed. I'm certain he has been removed from the documentary. A lot of wasted footage, I think, for Sergio Garcia. I think it could be interesting. I think it's worth a shot. Why not?
Try
it.
There's no doubt. It's good that they're doing it. There's no downside to it. Absolutely. Because a lot of times I'm like, when you're watching, they're all just basically, most of the players are sort of faceless. They don't really have a lot of personality. They're very, the even keel, which I understand you have to be over a 72-hole tournament, but that's what I want. That's why I want characters. So that is one thing I will say for LIV, that they do have some interesting characters on there. Patrick Reed, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, guys who definitely aren't the cookie cutter boring players, which is good because golf definitely needs more either villains or players you love to hate or, you know, that type of thing, as opposed to a cookie cutter player who draws no emotion out of you. So They do have a few players that definitely are like that on the tour.
Well, I wonder if with the docuseries too, I wonder if there has sort of been this, like, there's this history of sports of like, yeah, it's so fun. You know, you and I watching hockey, like all these like hockey players who grew up and they're, you know, they get interviewed and they're like, yeah, no, you just got to keep your stick on the ice. And, you know, I think we played pretty hard out there, you know? And like, I feel like they're so media trained, but I wonder if you can get a docuseries. It's like, yeah, the camera's on you all the time. If you can get these moments of like the real, real frustration or real, you know, euphoria, I think it could be fun. I think it could be a good thing for golf, but very interesting. And then again, if that takes off in this, even remotely in the same way that Formula One, I think that's tough news for LIV Golf, as well. So, anyway, thanks for coming on chatting about LIV Golf. I feel like I have a better understanding of what the heck is going on over there.
Oh, thank you for having me. And certainly I'd love to come back on again, after all these events have taken place and sort of see it, where we are with that. Because as we mentioned, different names trickling into the tour. So by the time the first season is concluded, maybe there'll be considerably more players playing. They try to get Tiger Woods for like close to $1 billion, apparently, which... That's insane, but he declined. But certainly I am fascinated to see where this goes for the tour. I'm just not necessarily just yet fascinated with actually watching the golf.
The day the tournament started, right, all the players who were like PGA guys, including Phil Mickelson, they were all officially suspended by PGA Tour, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's sort of the PGA Tour's way of trying to really put the hammer down on all this. But I think ultimately, say this league does sort of fold after a couple of years, I could see them allowing the players to be back on the PGA Tour. I could also see, just like players can play on the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour, I could see a day, certainly, where it's like you can play whatever events, you can mix and match. You can play the Saudi tour, you can play the European tour, the PJ tour, wherever you'd like, basically.
I mean, to me, suspending the players is the most that feels like, oh boy, it's a threat. And so I could see that perhaps if it never takes off in the same way and they're just going to spend a bunch of money, and there's no way they're making back their money, right? At this moment, I mean, that's so many startups, you know, that I'm not even sure that like Uber has made back the money yet. It's on like, you know, being the startup of like, you have to invest so much money and the model they're trying. And if they're just like, you know, not going to make it back, then I could see this too as well. PJ being like, all right, you're no threat. All right, go play. Who cares?
Bye-bye. Bye. Exactly.
As long as people still value the PGA, the big four, you know. Mikey, thanks for coming on. You want to promote anything else you got going on?
Well, certainly, yeah. It's, you know, as we get into the summer months here, haven't been doing my HDog pod as much, although I have had a couple of great guests on recently. So I think I'm done 85 episodes for that now. So very happy about that.
Definitely reaching in on 100, Mikey.
I know, I know. I hate milestones normally, but that actually is one that I do want to get to. Yeah. That does sort of seem significant. Every week for the PGA Tour, I do on Instagram and Twitter my all bets par off videos where I pick four or five players to potentially win the tournament beforehand and give reasons for doing that. It's like a 50-second video every time. Bing, bang, boom, super quick. You know, anything longer than that, oh, the video is like 3 minutes. I don't even want to watch it. So I always make them short.
I agree with you. Actually. So not about your video specifically, I think videos in general. Yes.
But yeah, that's so I've been doing that. So I'm really trying to push those and getting some good responses from that. So those are the big things. And then obviously I still write for sportsbettingdime.com for golf tournaments each week as well.
Very quickly, I think if you listen to All Bets Par Off, I'm pretty sure somebody will hear a phrase, you're going to say bang at some point. Is it correct? Can you explain bang to the Off Speed podcast listeners?
Yes. It's sort of, I don't exactly know in the initial genesis of it, but
it's just sort of
the perfect, the perfect way to like affirmation to like, you know, oh, I just got a hole in one. I wish I've never had one.
That's right.
Just got a hole in one. Bang. It's just sort of a way to be like, it can work for any situations. Really. If you're chirping someone, you could say bang, or
it's,
you know, if
it's
you're happy,
Hound Dog Harrison catchphrase.
Yeah, it just sort of works for every situation. You're happy or sad, whatever. You can just throw a little bang in there at the end of it, and it just makes things that much better.
What are you, what's your Twitter handle, Mikey? Did you say that already?
Oh, I didn't. Good point. At Hound Dog Harrison on both Twitter and Instagram. But basically, it's at Hound OG Harrison because I couldn't put Hound and then an extra D with Dog Harrison because there's too many characters. So it's Hound OG Harrison.
Yeah. Hold up. We'd had the same thing. We were Hold Up Podcast, but one P we would say because it was like Hold Up Oddcast. And then we call ourselves an oddcast. But yeah, Hound Dog Harrison, 1D.
Podcast. I like that.
Tweet at, use the hashtag mbang if you listened and enjoyed it. Mikey, thanks so much. We'll see you in the future. There's always, will always be more golf to chat about.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. That was Mikey. That was Ken from a Survivor Gabon chatting about esports. A couple of really fun conversations, I thought. We'll be back in a few weeks' time with another show, another topic. As always, if you have sport suggestions that you would like me to be chatting with guests about on the show, please feel free to send me a message. You can chat at me at Hi From Grace. You could tweet at me. You could send me a direct message on Twitter, or you can email grace@postshowrecaps.com. I'll get your email that way. As well. And yeah, I want to know what you folks are interested in hearing about. Before we go, I do want to let folks know that there's a great podcast on this hour called the Purple Pants Podcast with the lovely Bryce Isaiah. Check it out. Each week, Bryce spices up your podcast feed, covering reality TV and pop culture. Miss Barb is there to pick up your spirits with Barb's message. Casual Tea with Iman covers pop culture in a way that's like no other. There's a Freak of the Week, along with your church announcements. Each month, Bryce and Isaiah curate a special playlist called the Purple Pants Playlist. Bryce, Chappelle, and Sheree Lloyd are covering season 2 of Stars hit show P-Valley. And once a month, Bryce has your spiritual forecasts with Gangsta Guri on a Purple Pants Premonitions. So what a show. Check it out. If you're not already listening to it, make sure you subscribe to the Purple Pants Podcast. My name is Grace. I do a few other things over on Post Show Recaps. I do weekly movie coverage. We check out what's in theaters or what's streaming at the moment. So we've chatted about Lightyear. We're going to be chatting about Elvis this week. So lots of good stuff there. And there'll be lots more TV coverage coming from me over on Post Show Recaps this summer. And I also have The Pride Is Spoken, a podcast I worked on with Evie Jagoda from Survivor 42 and Matt Scott. Who you know from Pod Friends and the Wrestling Rehab Up. And we chatted about LGBTQ survivors, celebrating those folks. Evie did a lot of wonderful, great interviews with folks like Amy and Ty, Lyrsa, Zeke, Bryce, and Ricard. And we chatted to some other folks along the way. So I'm excited for folks to hear that as we wrap up Pride Month with our final episode of The Pride Has Spoken. I'll see you in a few weeks for another episode of the Offspeed Podcast. Until then, the podcast is over.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.